Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The men's Final Four National Championship taking place tonight in Arizona. I'm excited. It's Purdue, the program I used to cover. I try to explain to people that Purdue is it's like a distant cousin of Oregon State. Same type of feel among the fan base. Hardworking people, salt of the earth. Rooted for their team for years. Nice to see Purdue up on that stage, I'll be honest. John Wooden, a former graduate. Drew Brees, I covered him his freshman year as a beat reporter. I was the beat reporter. He was the quarterback. Our next guest is a former Purdue marching band member. Three generations of Jerry Palm's family have marched in the Purdue band. Purdue, Zach Edey on the big stage. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, joining us live via satellite from Glendale. How you doing, man?
All right. One minor correction, though. It's only two generations that have marched. My parents went to school, but neither one of them marched. So three generations going to Purdue, two of them marched.
All right. Well, maybe your kid is going to have a kid that will march in the band, and then you'll call me back in like 20 years, and you'll be like, you know what? You were right.
Yeah.
Clarinet player, as I remember.
Mistake you make today. I marched clarinet my freshman year, alto sax the other 3 years. I have a checkered past with instruments. You don't want to use a lot of radio time on that.
All right, let's Jerry Palm. He's on the scene. Give us kind of the atmosphere for you. Obviously, you're there as a media member for CBS Sports, but you have this other thing going on, Purdue. It must be really cool to see your team in this event.
Yeah, well, I've been coming to every one since 2002. That's what, 22? Because we had a year without a tournament, and it's the first time I got to bring my team along. So, it's really cool. This place is lousy with Purdue fans. It's going to be a home-ish crowd for Purdue, as it was the other night. It will be again tonight. Purdue fans are really fired up for this. And, you know, it's our first championship game since 1969, first Final Four since 1980. So there's a lot of excitement among Purdue fans.
Zach Edey, on this stage, how do you think UConn's going to defend him?
I expect him to start off just one-on-one with Klingon and see how that goes. You know, they're probably the only team that's got a guy where you can at least give that a shot. You know, you at least maybe give it a go and, you know, see if you can play him one-on-one. And if you can, I mean, that's a big advantage because, you know, once he doesn't get in foul trouble, because then you can have your other four guys focus on the guards and you just play straight up man-to-man. You're not always switching and trying to cover. So we'll see how that goes. But also, you know, like Zach can play 40 and may very well play 40 tonight. But Klingon's endurance isn't quite that good. He can probably max out around 30. He's been had fighting injuries and stuff all year, and his conditioning isn't quite up to snuff. So I expect that they'll try multiple things on Zach. They're not just going to try and do one thing. Plus, it keeps the Purdue offense off guard. You know, making adjustments on the fly. So that's kind of what I expect. But we'll see how it actually goes.
Jerry, what does it mean to Purdue to be in this game? I mean, Purdue, the university, the community, the fan base.
It means everything. I mean, we're all just so excited to be here, to have this chance today for this senior class to, you know, do something that has never been done. And this is a really special senior class, obviously, you know, led by Zach Edey, but not just Zach Edey. It's those six guys have really done a lot for this program. And so it's an opportunity for them to write a really positive final chapter to this experience.
I mentioned the correlation with Oregon State, and certainly Oregon State is in dire straits now with the Pac-12 stuff that went on. But in the Big Ten hierarchy, I was trying to explain to my family and some friends kind of where Purdue sits and what this means to them from a measure of pride. You've got John Wooden. You've got the Drew Brees years in football.
Yep.
If they win this thing, where does it rank?
It's the premier accomplishment in the history of the program. And it might be even if they don't win, because, you know, they haven't won an NCAA tournament. So this is just their second crack at, you know, the championship in the final game. They're Purdue's only national championship was in 1932 when John Wooden was the star of the team. And, you know, they that was awarded by the Helms Foundation, which was the arbiter of such things back then. And so, you know, it would really be nice to be able to hang, you know, an NCAA tournament championship banner in Mackey Arena, which is about the only thing that's not there.
Jerry Palm with us, CBS Sports bracketology expert. Let's look back at your bracket, the NCAA tournament seeding. You know, what do we know now that we didn't know when the tournament field came out, Jerry? And you've watched this thing unfold.
You know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people like to judge the committee based on the results of the tournament, but that's not really fair because they didn't have the results of the tournament when they were making their decision. So you really have to judge it based on, you know, what they knew. And there was plenty to criticize based on what they actually knew. The Mountain West was underseeded. You know, the Virginia being in the tournament, really the two biggest things that you didn't need to see Virginia lose to know they didn't belong. And you didn't really need to see how the Mountain West played against teams that were better than they should have been playing. You know, that when you underseed or overseed somebody, it doesn't just affect that team. It affects the teams they're playing. You know, Purdue gets Utah State as an eight. And even though they won, you know, very comfortably, they should not have had to play that good a team in round two. But that's how that is, you know. So, you know, seeding really matters. It's important to be accurate. And that's something that it really seemed to be a challenge for this year's committee.
Jerry, we watched Andy Enfield leave USC, and then the domino effect goes Eric Musselman and then John Calipari. Were you shocked by that, surprised by it? What's the scuttlebutt around the Final Four been?
I think that him leaving in general was not a surprise. They've won one NCAA tournament game since 2019. That's not Kentucky standard. There was a lot of unrest over it. You know, and Cal, there's a guy that's very accomplished as a coach and feels like he should get a little bit more slack when things are not going quite well and you know, faith that he can turn them around. He didn't really feel like he was getting that, so he found a place to move and moved. And, you know, to me, the most surprising thing is that he stayed in the league. he's still in the SEC, you know. But I can't say that I'm really just stunned that he chose to move. That they weren't going to fire him. I don't think there was any question of that, or it would have already happened. But I think, you know, he probably felt like a fresh start at a place that is definitely going to appreciate him, at least at the outset, like every new coach.
What does Kentucky do? What's the move for them?
Well, gosh, I mean, it's a really attractive job. It comes with its challenges, and it comes with extremely high, maybe unrealistic expectations. But it's a place that you can more easily recruit to. So, you know, they're probably going to get a high major coach. You know, that's not an entry level gig. They're not hiring someone's assistant, and they're probably not going to get, you know, Western Kentucky's coach or, you know, somebody like that. That they're going to hire a high major guy. I don't know who it's going to be. The job just opened and probably nobody, you know, really thought it was going to be, but, you know, it's, they'll get somebody, you know, they'll probably go after maybe like Scott Drew of Baylor or somebody like that, who I don't think is personally a great fit, but still somebody of that caliber. to go to Kentucky. Somebody maybe who's already won a national championship or been to Final Fours. That's the level of coach they're going to look for.
Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, is with us from Glendale, site of the national championship game where his Boilers, we call them the Boilers, right? Not Boilermakers?
Yep. Either way is fine. Yep,
where
I use both. depending on my level of laziness at the time.
His Boilers will be taking on UConn tonight in the national championship game. The women's national title game, the audience is out, the numbers are out, 18.7 million. What was your reaction? What was your reaction when you hear that? 18.7 million, a new record.
You just heard it. Wow, that's great. Yeah, because I didn't know it before you said it. So, you know, and the was it the previous one? It was like 12 million for the Iowa semifinal, right?
Right.
So you've got an undefeated team with a coach that is about as accomplished as anyone in women's basketball has ever been. And, of course, Caitlin Clark, who's a major draw. So, yeah, I don't think that number's surprising necessarily, but I just think it's terrific for that for the women's game, which continues to grow.
I think it's great. I'm curious to see the number for the men's game, even though I know there's a Caitlin Clark effect that we shouldn't draw too many big conclusions. What do you say to people, Jerry, that say the women's and the men's Final Four should be at the same venue?
Man, that's asking a lot. You know, because now you're doubling the number of teams at this place, and the logistics of doing something like that probably make it unfair to everybody. I think the women's Final Four deserves its own showcase, its own event, if you will. And actually, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but they would probably consider it insulting to feel like they need to share the floor with the men when really they prefer to probably do it well on their own, and they do very well on their own.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the last time they brought this up in 2021, the coaches were polled, and a lot of them, including Dawn Staley, came back and said, hey, we want our own thing. We don't want to be like the junior varsity event that's going on
exactly
in the background of this tournament. I think it's cool to...
Also, when you think about it, the stress on a host city, when now you're not just bringing in four teams, you're bringing in eight teams, and not just for like a opening round and second round like you have, you know, early on, you're bringing in eight teams that are competing for a national championship that weekend. I mean, that's a lot of stress on the infrastructure that needs to exist around an event like this.
Jerry Palm, what do you think's going to happen tonight? Or what are you expecting? What are you interested in? What are you looking for early in the game?
I'm looking to see how Purdue's guards come out of the gate, especially Braden Smith, who had a really bad first half. He was better in the second half, not so much scoring. He didn't really look to score a lot, but taking care of the basketball, which is always the most important thing for Purdue, is taking care of the basketball, because in all four of their losses, their average turnover margin is -9.5. Now, they had 16 against North Carolina State, but the Wolfpack had 13. So I want to see how Purdue's guards come out of the gate, just in terms of taking care of the ball, running the show, and getting up shots when they need to, but also on the defensive end, because UConn's guards are, you know, really good. Everybody talks about Zach versus Klingon, and that's, you know, it's certainly an interesting matchup, but I have a feeling this game is going to be won, not there, but by the guards.
I think it's going to be fantastic to see the big guys go at it. I suspect UConn's going to try to run Edie, but you've seen that before. What happens when some bigs that can move a little bit better try to run him? How does he respond to that?
It doesn't happen. he doesn't take any bait. He doesn't. There just isn't. You know, he's going to do what's good, and if they're running the floor, he'll get down the floor. He's not the fastest guy, obviously, but you know, that if they beat everybody down the floor, well, they might beat everybody down the floor, even if, you know, Caleb First is in the game, has been his usual backup. So I don't think they're gonna try, and I mean, they can try, but if they think they're gonna wear him out, their best bet to get him out of the game is try and get him in foul trouble.
I think it's going to be fun to watch. That atmosphere, that you know, I saw Oregon play North Carolina in a Final Four semifinal there. I think Gonzaga was on the other side of the bracket that year. But, you know, what has it been like for you to be there as a media member? Your team's there. The venue, the atmosphere. Is Glendale doing a nice job with this thing?
Yeah, yeah, they are. I mean, it's a whole metro area. You know, Phoenix, Glendale, Tempe, you know, all of it. You know, everybody's been very hospitable. Things have run really smoothly. We haven't had a lot of hiccups. So yeah, it's been really good. You know, this is a place that's done it before, so they know what to do. And they've taken pretty good care of everybody who's here. And for as far as Purdue, it's like homecoming. You know, every Purdue fan who can get here got here, and if they get tickets, great. Otherwise, they're just hanging out and enjoying the party.
I think it's fantastic that you're there with your team. I'm excited to see what happens. All right, who's your pick for the game?
Well, I picked Purdue at the start, so I'm sticking with it. UConn's a 7-point favorite now, I think, the last I saw. So, and they should be favored, you know, because they're a really good team and they've had a great tournament. But I expect, you know, first of all, Purdue's guards to play better, but also they've been the team of the year, perhaps, but Zach Edey's the player of the year, and I expect him to really assert himself and have a great game.
Purdue's guards need to shoot a little bit. I mean, if they can shoot and make some threes, it makes life easier for Zach Edey as well. Jerry Palm, hey, congrats to you. Great season. Have some fun. How are the bands doing? You must have watched them in the semifinal.
The bands are great. You know, as you know, one of my favorite parts is the band. And, you know, the all four pep bands here were really great players, great music, great spirit. Just what you'd expect from these high-level college pep bands.
Yeah, they really add to the atmosphere, too, even in the early rounds at different venues and even, at you know, in the women's tournament as well. Even at the conference tournament in the Pac-12, the bands, you know, I look at it a little differently because I know you now, so I'm more cognizant of it. You've done that to me, Jerry.
Well, good. I'm glad someone's paying attention besides me. Well, and all my band friends.
All right, Jerry, good luck to your team tonight. Thank you for joining us.
All right, thanks.
There he goes, Jerry Palm. Steven, UConn -7. You biting?
I'm biting. And you, John, I feel like you know me well enough now. I love to take the points. I love to take an underdog. UConn, they've covered the last 11 NCAA tournament games that they've won, and they've won every game by 13 or more. This is just a truck going down a hill that has no brakes. It's just running into everything down its path. And I think Purdue, this game is interesting because these are the two best teams in the nation. So I think it is a really good test for UConn, and Purdue has some really good players. I still don't trust Matt Painter in a big situation, the Purdue coach. He's failed a lot of these big situations before. I trust Dan Hurley now, the way they're doing it. This Purdue team is really good. They have two lottery picks on this team that people aren't really talking about. Like, I just think this is a tough spot for Purdue to go up against UConn. But I will say, this is by far the best team UConn's played in these 11 games last two seasons in the NCAA tournament. So, should be the best competition, but I'm biting. I'm taking UConn minus the points.
You're taking UConn minus the points. Jerry's saying Purdue will play him, you know, with Zach Edey within the points. Donovan Clingan versus Zach Edey. I think Clingan's going to give Edey some problems because he's so much more mobile. And I have a feeling that UConn's game is going to be much more up-tempo. I'm curious to see if Edey can run with Clingan down the court. What do you do if you're Dan Hurley?
You gotta hit him early, right? Like, whenever you're going against a really big player like that, like Zach Edey, you gotta hit him early. You gotta chest him up early and just try to force him off his spots, because if he gets onto the block, it's over. And we've seen that throughout his career, especially in the NCAA tournament this year. If he gets it on the block, it's going in the hoop, like, then automatically. And I think what you want to do is, Jerry Palm talked about this. Purdue's a really good shooting team this year. You know, second in the nation percentage-wise. They don't shoot a lot of threes, but they've improved their shooting a lot. You don't want to double-team as much as possible because Edey is an okay passer out of the post. You don't want to double and give wide-open shots. So you got to hit him early. You got to try to get him off that spot just a little bit, because when you're a big guy, you get hit off 2-3 feet off your spot. That changes your entire game, changes your entire shot. So I think Klingon, I think all those guys, they're going to have to hit him early, hopefully get him off that spot on the block and play one-on-one with him. And I think Klingon's kind of the best guy in the nation to go up against Zach Edey. And I think that's what he's going to do at the start of the game.
Leave it here. You got the BFD.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.